And joining us now is Bob Schiff, who is an attorney who served as chief counsel for former Senator Russ Feingold for 12 years. He's the co-author of the article at Time Magazine, Brett Kavanaugh Can't Be Trusted. We know because we worked as counsels to senators when he was in the Bush White House. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bob Schiff.
Thank you.
So I guess at this point, the question arises, how did a womanizer, a drunk, and a gambler get this far? I mean, this is pretty extraordinary. When you look at the record that you have, that Lisa Graves and others have compiled from their experience with Brett Kavanaugh in terms of his basic honesty, but it seems like every other day now something's coming out of the woodwork. Michael Avenatti's got a woman lined up to drop another bomb on Kavanaugh. Senator Whitehouse asked him about his peculiar influxes of money, for which there's very little explanation, and whether he has a gambling problem. No adequate answers have come on any of these major questions. So is this a case of the sort of Republican Federalist establishment led by Leonard Leo just pushing people forth with the unusual power and influence that they have? What would explain it to you or to our audience?
Yeah, I think that what you said is actually quite very much at the bottom of this. Brett Kavanaugh has been preparing, and he has been prepared by others, groomed for this position for his entire professional career. I mean, starting when he worked with Ken Starr on the independent counsel investigation of President Clinton and was the co-author of the Starr Report, moving on then to being a foot soldier in the Bush v. Gore recount in Florida, and then taking over in the White House, they have been, looking for someone like him to be on the Supreme Court, and that's a long process. You have to get somebody on the circuit court first. And so after he played a key role in packing the circuit court with like-minded conservative ideologues in the early 2000s, he was then nominated himself, and he has been on the circuit court for 12 years, being the kind of judge that they expected him to be and that he had every desire to be, and now is being elevated to the Supreme Court. And the only reason that we know now about all of his lies during that process of being confirmed to the circuit court is because documents are finally available under the Presidential Records Act that show that he was not being truthful with the Senate committee back in 2004 and 2006. We didn't know back then. We asked the questions, but he deflected and lied to us in those two hearings prior to being confirmed to the D.C. Circuit, and it's only now coming out, just as many of these other situations are coming out very late in the game, but I think it's important for the Senate to consider them.
So is this arrogance on Leonard Leo's part that, I mean, he also got Gorsuch through, and Gorsuch, of course, went to the same Catholic boys' prep school, Georgetown Prep, that's now getting so much attention because of the pervasive drunkenness that went on amongst the student body, including Brett Kavanaugh, in particular his friend Mark Judge, who wrote a book about them all being inebriated, etc. So, there's a pattern here. I mean, Leonard Leo, of course, is a Opus Dei, very conservative Catholic. If you look at the list that they've got on so far, conservative Catholic, John Roberts, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, and now Kavanaugh, or at least they're hoping to get Kavanaugh on. I'm not being conspiratorial here. I'm just saying this doesn't represent the broad spectrum of American life. In other words, these are the most powerful people in the land, and many would argue in terms of their lasting effect on our lives. Yet it does seem that they're recruiting justices from a very narrow pool of extremely conservative Catholics.
I think that's right. I'm not sure that lumping them all together is quite fair, and I'd be fairly confident that Leonard Leo didn't know anything about Brett Kavanaugh's ill-spent youth and how far badly it went. But These are people right from the same mold, with very conservative ideological views from coming from privilege. Generally, I actually don't know about Alito's background or can't remember it, but I think the more important point is they know what they're getting. They don't have to ask any of these candidates, would you reverse Roe v. Wade? Because they have been told that, you know, in many different ways. So Kavanaugh's dissent in the case in the D.C. Circuit recently, where you had the undocumented immigrant from who was in custody and wanted an abortion, that opinion was a message that I can be trusted when I go on the Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade. And on any number of other issues, all of these judges made clear during their circuit court times that they would be down-the-line conservatives who would take the position of corporations over individuals, of the executive branch over Congress, and right down the line of companies over unions, et cetera.
Well, that was particularly evident with Gorsuch, because Gorsuch effectively auditioned for the Federalists in the so-called frozen truck driver case, where a truck driver, his rig broke down in the dead of winter in an ice storm, and he had a choice of either to freeze to death or go and abandon his rig and get help. And Gorsuch went out of his way to be the only judge to vote against the truck driver, in effect saying that the guy should have frozen to death. That seemed to be an audition to show that he was a zealous corporatist.
Absolutely, and there's a very similar case that maybe hasn't gotten as much attention because of all of the other issues that have come up with Kavanaugh. But he wrote a decision in a case called SeaWorld, basically saying that OSHA could not regulate SeaWorld to prevent could not issue a regulation that would prevent SeaWorld from forcing its employees to go out and interact with sharks that had actually injured people before, but this was not something that was covered by OSHA's, you know, safety regulations. But very much the same kind of, you know, corporate power over individual rights of employees.
And again, I'm speaking with Bob Schiff, who's an attorney who served as chief counsel for former Senator Russ Feingold for 12 years. He's the co-author of the article at Time Magazine, "Brett Kavanaugh Can't Be Trusted." We know because he worked as counsel to senators when he was in the Bush White House. So where do you see this heading now? There's been a really ramping up of fairly sort of hostile, if not thuggish, rhetoric coming from the majority leader of the Senate, Mitch McConnell, who's just absolutely going to push this thing through. Orrin Hatch, of course, is making peculiar sort of remarks, patriarchal and perhaps even senile remarks. And the president himself has now weighed in, saying this whole thing is a con job by the Democrats. So nobody knows about what's going to happen on Thursday in terms of the format that they've devised. Republicans are being very secretive about who possibly might be the female prosecutor asking questions. So how much do you think the deck is stacked against Christine Blasey Ford?
Well, I think the deck is stacked against her, but I think also the Republicans at this point are just trying to check a box of giving her a chance to air her allegations, and then they want to just move forward and have a vote. Much as we would like there to have been an inquiry on the facts, much as we would like the Republicans to say, well, if he did this, he should not be on the Supreme Court, it seems clear that for most of them, this is just a roadblock to be maneuvered around. And with this idea that they're going to have someone else question her, that is just a purely political maneuver to try to avoid the embarrassment of an all-male Republican side questioning, almost certainly in an aggressive and unkind manner, for the American people to see. This is, in the end, a political process. And Mitch McConnell has made it clear he doesn't care about these allegations, true or false. They've set up the hearing to be as close as possible to a he said, she said encounter, so that Republicans who want to vote for him will be able to say, it just hasn't been proven, and so I'm going to confirm him, he's a good man. And the hearing is a show, and there are reports that they want to try to move this out of committee on Friday and to the floor of the Senate on Monday and Tuesday and try to confirm Judge Kavanaugh next week. Many people have said that this is a danger to the reputation of the Supreme Court if they go ahead and put someone on it without resolving these allegations. But I guess my view is that that didn't stop them from confirming Clarence Thomas, and it certainly hasn't. There's been no indication that Thomas has any regrets or that the Supreme Court has suffered because of having someone on it for the last 25 years who faced these kinds of allegations and very well may have been guilty of them. So I think from the Republican point of view, getting Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court is the ballgame. That's why they wanted Donald Trump to be elected. That's why they've been putting up with his antics for the last almost 2 years. They get their majority on the Supreme Court, and they can start attacking precedents like Roe v. Wade and the Affordable Care Act and everything else that the previous court, by a very narrow margin, had been able to protect for the American people.
So what are we to make, then, of the two women that essentially, I don't know whether you could say they're being targeted by the Democrats, but they're, first of all, Susan Collins has gone out of her way to say that she actually believed Brett Kavanaugh's assurances about Roe v. Wade, and you've made it clear that he's sent the opposite assurances to those that are behind him and have elevated him. And then Lisa Murkowski just said today that maybe we should hear from Deborah Ramirez, who's the subject of the accusation coming from Kavanaugh's days at Yale as an undergraduate. The president, of course, has weighed in and trashed her as well. And also you've got Corker and Jeff Flake. It's odd that these two, particularly Corker and Flake, seem to be free to criticize the president, but they always vote in lockstep with the Republicans. So do you think there's any chance of the two women having a come-to-Jesus moment?
Well, I think there's a chance. And I think that, pressure on them from their constituents is part of what needs to happen. It seems like both Collins and Murkowski have kept somewhat of an open mind and certainly are less inclined to dismiss the allegations from Dr. Ford and Ms. Ramirez than their colleagues. I mean, Corker and Flake would have voted in favor of Kavanaugh right from the start. They feel free to play a little bit of a middle ground because they don't really care about the president's base and about the president himself being critical of them. But you're right. They've never voted on anything in a way that would suggest they want to use that independence to block a Supreme Court nomination. So I think Murkowski and Collins are very important. It's distressing because, of course, there are other women senators on the Republican side. There's Joni Ernst. There's Shelley Moore Capito. There's Deb Fischer. These are, they're all women, and presumably they are, know that these allegations have at least the ring of truth. I mean, I find both of these women believable. There's a variety of reasons for that, but you just would think that more senators would be concerned about putting someone on the Supreme Court who has this dark past, potentially. And let me just also say, with respect to Ms. Ramirez's allegations, which have just come out recently, you hear a lot of, well, there's no corroboration. Well, actually, the corroboration is not eyewitness testimony, necessarily. It's people who heard something about it at the time and remember that clearly. It's people that may have heard it from her or may have been down the hall when someone shouted out what Brett Kavanaugh had done. That is corroborating evidence. And the fact that there seems to be no interest in having the FBI interview all of the relevant people and investigate these and try to come to some conclusion of what actually happened, I think pretty much tells you everything you want to know about the Republicans' attitude towards the allegations. They really don't care if this is true. They want their man on the court.
Well, in terms of corroboration to Deborah Ramirez, Kavanaugh's freshman roommate at Yale says, quote, Although Brett was normally reserved, he was a notably heavy drinker, even by the standards of the time, and that he became belligerent and aggressive when he was very drunk. And I mentioned Mark Judge's book, which was pretty graphic about them being hammered all the time. And, of course, in the yearbook, Brett Kavanaugh talks about 100 kegs of beer being some kind of important badge of honor of his, along with suggesting, amongst others of his buddies, that they had some kind of woman that they all shared in a, I don't know, I won't get into the details of that, but it's a bit murky. But what's now happening is a third shoe is about to drop with Michael Avenatti, who is a sort of pugnacious ambulance chaser, but he certainly knows how to get media attention, and he's found somebody. I'll just quote from Avenatti's tweet. "I represent a woman with credible information regarding Judge Kavanaugh and Mark Judge. We will be demanding the opportunity to present testimony to the committee and will likewise be demanding that Judge and others be subpoenaed to testify. The nomination must be withdrawn." Very odd. What can I say? Crazy town is getting crazier, right? But
yeah, it's an unusual way to proceed because, of course, those demands have been made by Senate Democrats for the last 2 weeks and are falling on deaf ears. So, but it does point out the peril for the Republican senators if they go forward in a rush and confirm Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court, because if the person that Mr. Avenatti represents is a credible witness when we finally find out who she is and what she says, and if there is corroborating evidence of her allegations, there is, you know, someone on the Supreme Court who really has a past that we really would not want to see in someone who's in that position. So it's a risk for the Republicans, but it, so far that particular allegation is just a reported, you know, threat as opposed to something tangible. I guess I would really like to see the senators Murkowski and Collins say to their leaders that they will not vote to confirm Kavanaugh on Monday or Tuesday unless there is an adequate investigation, because they are actually interested in the facts of these two witnesses and potentially three the allegations that they've made before making their decision. That, it seems to me, would you know, stop Mitch McConnell from going forward, because he needs both of their votes, assuming that the three Democrats who have still not announced their position would not vote to confirm him either.
Well, I think this whole situation with these two women and possibly a third has given the Democrats cover. But just to finish up on Avenatti, this woman is going to appear. I mean, this is not an empty promise on his part. I'm sure she's going to show up, and he's already saying that we had high-level security clearances in both the State Department, the U.S. Mint, and the Department of Justice, implying that she'd be a very credible witness. So I think we can expect to see her and hear from her, surely.
I would think so. You certainly would hope so after the buildup that Michael Avenatti has given this, and I think he said last night within 36 hours, so we're talking about sometime on tomorrow morning, I guess, that we will finally find out if he's keeping to his own deadline.
But
it's a crazy way to run a railway. I mean, you know, one thing the Senate does not do well is act under pressure with a time deadline to find facts. I mean, the idea that this kind of proceeding is going to be illuminating of much more other than the incompetence of at least some senators is a little bit surprising.
Well, not only, of course, are they denying Christine Blasey Ford the opportunity to have Kavanaugh testify first and then she to respond, he has the advantage of listening to what she has to say and then rebutting it, and then, of course, there'll be a female prosecutor asking questions. But they've also been very firm about not having Mark Judge testify, and he's a witness in terms of Christine Blasey Ford's accusation. So that is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
But that's why I find the Avenatti business of singling out Mark Judge with this third woman having evidence about him, that sounds like potentially explosive.
So it does. Yeah. It does. I mean, I think of the three demands that Dr. Ford's attorneys made, that is the most that's the most significant one. I mean, I think the other two, don't really make this an unfair process. But not having the other person that she said was in the room subpoenaed and interrogated about this just seems like an effort to, again, to set up a he said, she said, as opposed to actually finding out what actually happened.
Well, Bob Schiff, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much, Ian. Take care.
You too. And again, I've been speaking with Bob Schiff. He's an attorney who served as chief counsel for former Senator Russ Feingold for 12 years. He's the co-author of the article at Time magazine, Brett Kavanaugh Can't Be Trusted. We know because we worked as counsel to senators when he was in the Bush White House. We're going to take a brief station break and back discussing President Trump's address to the United Nations General Assembly today, at which his absurd boasts about him being the greatest president ever, having achieved a miraculous turnaround and made America great again in just 2 years, was greeted with mocking laughter from the leaders of the world.